a real joy and a privilege to share with you this morning. I don't want to say that my pastor needs to go away more often so I can share. I don't want to say that, but I just want to really honor Cobus this morning for his heart to go out and to be an example to all of us, because God has called us to go forth. And it's really great. I joked with him this morning. I had just a quick message, and I said, "How's the missionary man doing?" You know, because I know he's been through it all. New culture, tummy bug, dust, you name it. But I hear the spirits are really up in all of them. The team has done well, and we praise God for what they're doing in India. Amen. Amen. Isn't that exciting? This morning, I just really want to add on to what's already been laid as a foundation, just in terms of who you are. And, you know, who you are determines where you go. And knowing your design is so important to determine your direction. Amen? So I'm going to share on that just in a moment. But I thought, because we're approaching Christmas, I'm going to tell a little Christmas joke. Is that okay? Around Christmas, in terms of the nativity. Now, we all know for a fact that on the night Jesus was born, there were animals in the stable. Right? I think we know that. Yeah. Okay? But what we don't know is maybe what those animals said or wanted to say around the manger. So here's the manger scene, okay? Just bear with me. And this is also, by the way, check how well you know scripture. Okay, so get ready. If you don't laugh, then I know you don't know scripture. All right, camel. I will bear him gifts. The donkey, I will carry him. The fish, I will pay his taxes. The cow, I will quench his thirst. The dove, I will bless him on his baptism. The sheep, I will warm him. The duck, I will feed him. And the pig, I will let him fill me with demons and I'll throw myself off a cliff. Say what? What? Isn't it apt though when we hear things like that? We do take a bit of a check and say, "What? Vrachtig? Is that what it is?" Is, you know, you take a bit of a check. And I want to say to you this morning, dat jy is nie die vark in jou lewe se verhaal nie. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. What? Yes, you are. Yes. And that's really where I want to go this morning with my message. It's just for you to understand why you've been designed the way that you have and to take absolute ownership of who you are in Christ Jesus and the potential that you have. Rochelle and I have been going through the purpose-driven life again. I don't know if you've read Rick Warren's and gone through the whole series in the book, but we've just been kind of filling up again in terms of what you've really been called to. And it's exciting. So I want to talk about design. Any builders in the house? Oops, no second in Mulekite. Any architects in the house? Any architects? Any geologists? Okay. But we've got builders in the house. I hope you're going to help me with this. If I got it wrong, please correct me, okay? In building, in architecture, the build direction, apparently, is the most critical consideration in preparing for the product. Is that accurate? Because how can you build something if you don't know where that building's going? Okay, just hold with me a little bit, okay? The reason why it's the first step, because all the other steps depend upon it. Is that correct? What are the other steps? The support structures, the lattice orientation. These fancy words, eh? I'll get to that in a moment. Does anyone know what lattice orientation is? Okay, I'll enlighten you. How about the placement on the tray, they call it. The placement of the model on the tray. Placement is very important in terms of where the building's going. Interesting. So let's look at the scripture that I've already quoted in part, that I really want to talk out of in an overall way this morning, Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. Those of you that were at the Convergence, I'm sure you, if you were there the Friday night, were so blessed by Heinrich's message. And if you haven't gotten to that one, known by him and making him known, please go onto Shofar Online and go and listen, go and watch that message. It was powerful. It's the most powerful message on Psalm 139 that I've ever listened to. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Do you understand this morning that you are not just somehoy together or you fell out of the sky? God knit you together in your mother's womb. He knew you before the foundations of the earth. He made you in a fearful and a wonderful way so that you can look at what God made and say, my soul knows it well. I suppose you've heard that thing of that men are fearfully made and women are wonderfully made. I don't know if you've come across that teaching anywhere. It's not a good teaching, okay? But because we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. And it's just wonderful to know that when you take a step back and you think about this one thing, who am I? A whole lot more can be birthed in your heart. And I hopefully want to land that this morning in your heart as you consider that your design determines your direction. You see, coming back to the support structures. You see, if you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, that God has called you for a divine purpose, you have a direction in life. Then the support structures, like your marriage, your relationships, your family. God knows exactly the family He's put you in. God knows exactly the spouse that He's given you. We talk about opposites attract. Don't we? There's a reason for that. How about the lattice orientation, which is the very fabric and composition of the iron and the mortar? That's your personality. That's your gifts. That's your talents. It's the very essence of what God has put inside of you. And the placement. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. It's your career, it's your future. That's where God wants to take you ultimately as a child of God. So as believers, we are to entrust our lives to the Lord to direct us in all of our ways. He knows the right path in the wilderness to take you to your promised land. Amen. How many of you feel like you're in a wilderness sometimes? Some of you might feel like you're in one right now. See, our personal assessment of our journey of life might lead us astray. Because if it's up to us, ons gaan foute maak, né? If it's left up to us, we're going to take a wrong step and we're going to end up getting to that sign that says, make a U-turn. Okay? That is why the only way for us to accomplish what God has designed for us is to trust the designer and manufacturer of your life completely. Not just to say, oh God, you did a good thing here with my physique, or God, you did a good thing with my brain because I'm clever. No, God created you completely and fully in the way that he intended. Can you say this morning, I know and I fully understand your design? If you can do that, you will find direction in your life, I promise you. If you acknowledge who you are and that God has a plan for your life, direction is set up for you. That is why it's so important that you completely accept who God says that you are. Why? Because God created you the way that you are to bring him glory. Not just to show the world how awesome you are, but ultimately he created you for his glory. Your search for significance, those of you who know the Lord, ended when you gave your life to Jesus. And you began to understand what it meant or what it means to you to have been created in his image. That's when all the lights go on and your heart begin wakker word and so a sense that jy nie is dit kan contain at certain times of your life. You see, the truth is that many of us have lost this in our meandering in life. We've kind of lost the purpose. We've lost the focus. So I want to ask you, when you wake up in the morning, do you ask yourself, what am I going to do with my day? What am I going to do with my horrible boss today? What am I going to do with my marriage today that is falling apart? What am I going to do with my finances that I don't even know is coming next month? What am I going to do today with the problems that I face? You see, God has designed for you to be a house of his love and his presence. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has given you everything that you need. But you know what? You need to know it, and believe it with all of your heart. Otherwise, it will never realize for you in your life. When you realize that, that's when you can say, what can I do to my today? What difference can I make today in my boss's life? What difference can I make in my marriage today? What have I not done in my marriage that I should do every day? So see, Bloma Mensa and I could. Okay? What can you do to your today rather than, oh, what am I going to do in today? Woe is me. That's the mindset that God wants us to have. That's the heart foundation of our design that he wants us to understand. The single most desirable thing on a daily basis as a Christian, I don't know if it's the same for you, but I want to hear his voice. I want to know his presence in my life. The great news is, church, this morning, that the focal point of our design and his mission as the designer is for us to live and move and have our being in him. Come on. That's what he's designed for us. And he's saying to you this morning, and let's put up our key scripture this morning, Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, because this is what it's all about, church. And I'm going to break it up for you in these four points. But it says, trust in the Lord with all... Oh, by the way, I'm a thine and a thee. Okay, I like the King James. Forgive me, youngsters, but I will paraphrase correctly. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways. Everything that you do, everything that you think, acknowledge him, that he's in it. He's behind it. He's for it. And he shall direct your path. Other versions say he'll make your path straight. Some of our paths are not lekker at the moment. Wow. Can I read it again? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. The first step, let's break it up. The first step is to trust the Lord with all your heart. The word trust is an Old Testament word for faith. It more refers to belief in the New Testament. What does it simply mean? It means that you should have faith in the Lord, constantly have faith, trusting in Him, believing that He has your best interest at heart and desires the best for you. If you don't have that thinking, okay, you're going to continue getting second best in your life. You're going to continue grappling in the dark to try and find significance. Meanwhile, God's given it to you in your design, who you are in Him. See, you can only recognize this if you recognize the capacity, the abilities, and the gifting within you. That's your God-given DNA. That's all the support structures to your design. You are firstly and foremostly designed to hear God and have a living relationship with Him. You're not just here to serve Him as a God in heaven. You're here to relate to Him on a daily basis because He loves you. You don't just say, oh, I love my wife, but you never speak to her. You never interact with her. Wow. The number one reason why we're unable to hear God, most of the time where we battle is because of one thing, and that's fear. You see, when we fear, we lose trust. We cannot trust the Lord with all of our heart when we fear. And the result is, what? We lean on our own understanding. When we cannot trust in God with all of our heart, the automatic default is, oh, I can sort this out. I can fix it up. I know better. You don't. Fear, I'm going to say this a few times, fear and all of its cousins. The Bayer Nefa and Nachis and Aichut, what do you call them? Cousins, ne? Anxiety, worry, doubt, jealousy, bitterness. All those things. So when you entertain those things, when you look to those things as, oh, I've got a problem now, that person took that from me, I'm a little bit jealous in this, or I'm really bitter because this happened and it shouldn't have happened and it always happens. So when you entertain these wrong things, what are you doing? You're inviting the wrong things to follow. Wow. So what do we do then? Church, we need to develop our trust in Him, so that we can develop an ear to hear what God is saying. Come on. When we develop an ear to hear what God is saying, something amazing begins to happen. A connection begins to tie in to your design, and you realize, I don't only belong to God, but He wants to use me. He wants to work in me and through me to His glory. And one of the ways that we do this is what Lorette alluded to last week about being saturated with Scripture, because that's what the sword of the Spirit is all about. You know, when we take the Word of God at its core and we saturate our lives with Scripture, okay, what happens? It increases the flow of His voice in my life. Come on. The more you get Scripture in your church, the more you rely upon the Word of God, the more that you'll begin to flow in the trust that you have in the Lord. And the less you will lean on your own understanding and excellent exhortation. When you trust in Him and you wait upon Him, what happens? You get a sense of peace and you get a sense of His presence. You know that in that moment, there's something happening in my heart. There's something profound going on. Because in your struggles and adversity, all you need to know is His peace. And when you have that, that's His voice speaking to you. That's the voice that's the loudest you could ever have speaking to you. Is when God says through your circumstances that I give you the peace that passes all human understanding, that will guard your heart and your mind in Christ. Because if your heart and your mind is guided, is guarded, all you're going to do is trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And your own understanding is going to go out the window. Why? Because that's no work. Wow. Keep guarding your heart. Keep seeking after Him. Keep trusting Him with your whole heart, not just a part of it. Oh, I'm going to trust God today. No, I'm going to trust God every day. And the more you trust Him, the more He comes through for you, the more you know that that's what I want to do in my life every day. Trusting in Him with your whole heart means that you believe that you don't need anything else but to know His presence and His peace. What does this do? It creates a heart-to-heart connection that simply says, I know Him and He knows me. Because that's what God desires, besides wanting you to hear His voice, besides Him wanting to show you wonderful things, He wants to have a seamless relationship with you. He wants to have a heart connection with you. Because when that happens, that relationship is settled. Because we were designed to hear from Him and have a relationship with Him. Psalm 32 verse 8, what a beautiful scripture. I instruct you, these again, but I'll change it to you. Oh, I got modern after my first slide. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Hello? Who will instruct you and teach you? The Lord. Through Scripture, through His Holy Spirit. He will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And then He says, I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. What an amazing scripture. Because He loves you and He looks upon you, the design that He had in His heart from the very beginning for you, for your life, His loving eye remains looking upon you, guiding and directing your life. Isn't that awesome? Second point. Okay, so this is the difficult one, okay? Lean not unto your own understanding. It's a bit claimed out, but it's okay. I'll go through it. As believers, we're often caught in this web of conflict, aren't we, between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man. Or what the world says. You know, come on, let's be honest. All we're seeing is what's been proclaimed in the world. You know, and this world order and this government, and we think, wow, this H-bomb has been created and that. And we look at this seemingly wonderful wisdom and guidance from the world, but meanwhile it means nothing. Because the human faculties have been so developed that almost every issue is subjected to scientific investigation. Dr. Google. Come on, Dr. Google knows better, you know, than my GP. You know, oh, I want this fact quickly. Let me go and find it. Because everything you hear, you've conditioned yourself because you lean on your own understanding that it's the truth. How many of you have heard of the saying, liar, liar, pants on fire? Yeah. Have you heard that? Well, if that were true, it would be very interesting to watch the news every night on TV. Whose voice are you listening to? What news are you proclaiming? But firstly, what news are you taking in? And what are you doing with that news? You see, we were made in His image so that we could have a relationship with Him. When God created the earth, He called everything that He had created good. Amen? But when He created man, what did He say? It is very good. It's baie goed. It's not just goed. It's baie goed. Okay? Why? And you need to get this, church. Because we were made in His image, He now had the opportunity and purpose to relate to and dwell among His own. Come on. Isn't that powerful? Because we were made in His image, He now has the opportunity. God has this opportunity. He's presented it to you to relate to and dwell among you His own. Wow. Do you know what this is called? Intimacy. Spoke about that this morning as we took communion together. And sin came in and messed up this divine connection, right? Yeah. But Jesus came and He restored it on the cross. Jesus came and he dispelled everything else that was not of him. And he said, Jesus is standing and stepping into that place. And I'm going to restore my love. For God so loved the world that he gave. Wow. The one earthly relationship that resembles this is marriage. We all know that, right? It's a part of our lives that's very intimate. It should be. And I got this thought as I was preparing. I thought to myself, why are marriages so under attack? If you think about it, family, relationships between mom and dad and kids, and husband and wife, is the most forefront part of the battleground. Do you agree with me? Why is that? I think it's because the devil hates intimacy. Do you know why? Because he lost it with God when he was kicked out of heaven. He had an intimate relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but he lost it. That is why marriage as a relationship force is under so much attack. When you look at the dynamic of marriage, when God created man in Genesis chapter 1 and going into chapter 2, is that God took a rib from Adam and he created Eve. Because he said it's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to give him a helpmate. Wow, isn't that awesome? Think about that for a moment. God didn't want man to be alone. So he gave him a helpmate. Helpmate in the Old Testament refers to the role that God played in supporting Israel. Okay? In other words, about 13 or 14 times in the Old Testament, God refers to himself as supporting, standing side by side Israel and fighting on its behalf. Helpmate, in essence, means someone that is fully qualified and equipped to stand side by side and face to face with the other person to help that which is lacking in the other. That's why God has put you and your wife together and you're very opposite. Why? So your strength can complement her weaknesses and her strength can complement yours. Relationship done. Isn't God good? In practice, that's hard. But give God a chance and he will show you. You see, fear and all its cousins and everything else is trying to destroy your faith. Cannot work without a helpmate. See, Jesus is compared to the church in Scripture through marriage. If you look, it states that Jesus and the church are in a divine relationship. It's a godly connection. Once we are born again, it allows us to have a relationship with Jesus that is unconditional. Who's your helpmate every single day? Jesus. Do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are. Always lean on God for the direction that he's designed for you. Jesus is your helpmate. Many people have made great mistakes because they have relied on personal assessment. We take stock of our own situations before we take stock of what God says about your situation. Wow. Hebrews 3 verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Can you see the pattern? What did you think about this for a moment? Jesus looked to the Father. Moses looked to God for guidance. Who are we looking to? Jesus, our helpmate. So that we can be faithful in his house and be faithful to the calling upon our lives. Let's go to Oh, before I get there. Repentance and constantly seeking after the heart of God for your life is what throws the spanner in the works for fear and all those cousins. Okay? Repentance and constantly seeking after the heart of God. We touched on it this morning. Prayer and repentance, praying and fasting is so, so important. When you acknowledge God in your situation and you call upon Him as your helpmate, it is because your design as a worshiper and child of God is fully understood. Does your soul know it well this morning? That is my question to you. Do you know who you can go to? Do you know who you are? Do you know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made? Wonderful are thy works, O Lord. Can you say that to God this morning? Full conviction that your soul knows it well. Wow, God, look what you've made. Who you are in Christ Jesus is all important. Finally, last point. He shall direct your path. He shall direct your path. Part of your design, a big part of it, the major part of it towards understanding your design is that you've been designed to hear God's voice. You've been designed to have a relationship with Him. Is that you are designed to bear fruit. Amen? What does that mean? It means showing you how to produce fruit that will affect the kingdom. Yes, we know the fruits of the Spirit when we understand who we are and we start living out the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. We begin to understand what God wants to do in us and through us. But in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God says to man, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. You see, if you trust in Him, let's go back to the first point. That your design, one of the biggest parts of your design is to be able to hear His voice. When you do not lean on your own understanding, but you submit it to God in a connected and intimate relationship, and in all your ways, you acknowledge Him, involving Him in every area of your life through prayer and repentance. He will make your path straight. And what's the result? You will produce fruit. And fruit that will last. Come on, church. Isn't that so awesome? So why is it so important? Why is what I've been sharing with you so important this morning? How many of you understand the parable of the talents? Do you know what that's all about? Anyone want to give it a go? What's the parable of the talents really about? Is it go and invest your money in the bank? Or what do you think? Why do you think Jesus taught on the talents? God is looking for increase. God is looking for increase so that the Father may be glorified. Wow. Isn't that amazing? I just think that is just so incredible. If you think about trusting God with all your heart, understanding your design and what God has called you to do, and we take ownership of that, and we rise up from the circumstances of believing fear and all its cousins on a daily basis, we put that nonsense behind us and we say, I'm going to trust in the Lord with all of my heart. Not going to lean on my own ways of doing things. But in everything that I do, I'm going to trust Him and trust Him alone. And when I do that, He will make my path straight and I'll produce fruit. And fruit that will last. Isn't that wonderful? I'm just going to ask the band to come up as I just share this testimony quickly, and then we're going to sing a song together. But many years ago, I actually shared the story with Rolf and Mariette, but many, many years ago, Rochelle and I had been married for, I think it was maybe 6 months, 2 months.
Sure.
See, I'm getting old. And I was in the Air Force. I was based in Cape Town. And my officer commanding came and said, Lieutenant, jy moet bos toe gaan. So I said, oh, frick. Okay, I must go to the bos. I had to do a 3-month trip in Messina, there by Bite Bridge. Ah, past Louis Trichard. Door and gone there. In the hot sun. And I'm thinking, I've just got married. I want to be with my wife. I don't want to go in the bush. So anyway, so I went to my captain and I said, please, man, can't you make a plan? And instead of going for 3 months, can I just go for 6 weeks? When you ask a guy in authority for a favor like that, wat gaan hy vir jou sê? Wat jy gaat. Go. But my captain was really nice. And he said to me, okay, I'm going to try my best to do it. And when I left, I was pretty much assured, 6 weeks, I'm going. 6 weeks we could do, eh? Kind of. Anyway. So, 5 weeks in, I'm missing my wife, she's missing me. Our dog Snoopy was the only thing that comforted my wife, my little doggy. We had a little Daihatsu Shirah there in Cape Town, and I thought, I'm taking matters into my own hand, okay? And I'm going to go and fetch my wife, because the Air Force doesn't want to do what I asked them to do, and we're going to come back with the little Daihatsu Shirah 1000cc's and dog Snoopy all the way from Cape Town to Messina. It took us, 3 days? So we rode that little thing here. I think a petrol cost us about 500 rand in total in those days. This is very cheap, there and back. Okay. So we're driving, and we're getting close to Polokwane. And as we're coming along the N1, we see all these trucks. These trucks just coming, and I look and say, but I recognize that oak. I recognize that's my unit. And there's this convoy coming down. I said to Rishav, what got the arms? He says, I don't know. And they're waving at me, and I'm thinking, no, what's going on here? I get back to camp, there's chaos. Two generals came for a hunting trip and said, what is here? We're closing it down. 6 weeks to the day. 6 weeks to the day. Camp closed down. God closed a camp for me because He loves me. He loved my wife. He loved us. He went as far as saying, I've got this. You don't need man. Don't lean on your own understanding. I've got this. God closed an Air Force base in Messina for me. Can you imagine the testimony that I could have gotten out of that church? I still got the testimony because I'm sharing it now, but I'm sharing the other side of it. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on what the world says or what the trends are. No. Acknowledge Him to be the one who can do it. Because He can. And He did.